Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
You know, I want to bring you a message today as we gather that I pray will speak to the mixed group that I would say we have in this room together today. Let me tell you what I mean by the mixed group. I think gathered today in this room, a room this certainly this large, it's a mixture of people who have come to faith in Christ and those who are still searching. Those who have yet to confess Christ as their Savior, and those who have confessed Christ as Savior. So this morning, I wanted to go to a text, and I want to bring the message that I believe can speak to both groups that are here. And the message is living in light of the power of the resurrection. You know, very seldom in the last 19 years have I ever looked at you and said, you ought to go see a movie. I mean, I've done that periodically. Very seldom do I say, you ought to go see a movie. Well, last Thursday night, Lori and I went to see a movie. It's out in theaters around called The Case for Christ. I would encourage you to go see this movie. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about a man by the name of Lee Strobel. And you may say, well, I recognize that name. He's written some great apologetics books, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, The Case for Christmas, The Case for Easter, a lot of different cases he's written on. You may say, well, why does he write that way? Well, Lee Strobel, and this movie is about his testimony. Lee Strobel never set out to be an apologetics writer. Lee Strobel was an award-winning journalist for the Chicago Tribune. He had undercovered some things at the Ford Motor Company and written about them and was an award-winning investigative journalist. And he was a militant atheist. He would have argued with you if you would have called him an agnostic, because he would have said, no, an agnostic says there's a God. I just don't believe God's at work. No, he was a militant atheist. And he was given this assignment. The guy asked him, said, do you want to cause Christianity to crumble? And he said, I want that. I want to do that. And they said, well, Christianity rests on one thing. If you could disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus, you would point Christianity to be a house of cards and it would fall quickly. He eagerly took on the task of disproving the resurrection. Well, Lee Strobel begins to talk to a medical doctor. Because there are things that would say, well, Jesus didn't really die. He came very close to death. They put him in a tomb, and he would have come back to life. And Lee Strobel thought that, well, maybe possible. He talked to a medical doctor and said, you know, the Romans, these were trained killers. They knew how to kill someone. And no one would have survived the crucifixion along with the flogging that Jesus would have endured. So he talked to people who had studied the original manuscripts and said, do they affirm a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? And they all did. And he said, you know, there's more of these manuscripts alive than there is Plato and Homer and other things like that. Well, then he even began to talk to skeptics. He talked to one skeptic and she quite said, you're not going to hear what you want to hear from me. Even though I'm a fellow skeptic, there is nothing that I can find that disproves the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, he continues his study. He goes on and on. And at the end, not only does he fail to disprove the bodily resurrection, he finds so much evidence, he turns his life and confesses Jesus Christ as Savior. And now is one of the leading apologists. And it all started with a man that was wanting to disprove what we come to celebrate today, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the reason I say this is a message that I want it to speak to both believers and non-believers is this. What I have learned, I love how Kent Hughes says it. He says, there are Christians that I call them Saturday Christians. Now, those aren't people who worship on Saturday. They are Christians who are living as if the resurrection never took place. They're still lost in sin. They're still held back by sin. They are still held back by wrong priorities. They are what he calls Saturday Christians. So you can be a confessing Christian and still not be living in the power of the resurrection. But if you're here today and you would honestly, let me start off by saying, I thank God you're here. I praise God that you're here to hear this message. If you would say, I've never given Christ my life, then there is a message here for you. Because Jesus Christ gave his life for you. But see, he had the ability to overcome death. That's why we don't have to fear death. That's why we don't have to fear the thought of death, because Christ overcame death. And in overcoming death, he overcame our sin that was placed upon him. He overcame our spiritual death, so now we can overcome a physical death and be with him for eternity. So if you're a Christian, please listen to these words and just ask yourself, am I living in light of the resurrection? Is there a power in my life that reveals to the world that Christ is alive? And if you're not a believer, I would just ask you to read the scriptures, to hear my message today and hear of this one who overcame death so that today you could place your faith and your trust in him. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's one in front of you in the pew. You can, if you don't own a Bible, you can take that one with you. We'll replace it. We want you to have a copy of the Word of God. I mean, I'm serious. If you don't own a Bible and you're here, take that one. We'll replace it. Verse 1, chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Don't you love that? That's worth reading again. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when you were still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." You know, as we work our way through this passage, again, just simply ask the question, if you're a believer, am I living in the power of the resurrection? Do others see Christ, the risen Christ, in my life? And if you don't know Christ, I would just simply ask you, hear the message that we have for you today. I want to break this down. I want to look at two ways that it's possible to live. There's two ways that we can live our lives, and it's two ways you can live your life as a believer or as a non-believer, and that is you can either live as if the resurrection has taken place, or you can live your life as if the resurrection had never taken place. And Jesus, just like all the other gods that have been proclaimed, is still in the grave. That's the choice we have. We're going to live our life in one of those two ways, either in the power of the resurrection or as if he has never risen. Let's look at that first. How do we live? What's it like to live as if Christ did not rise from the dead? Well, I think we see it in verse 24. And working our way down. Notice it says that the ladies, they gathered. And it says that they had gathered spices. Now, they weren't going to do a cooking class, okay? That's not the spices they had. We don't think of death as spices, but what they had gathered things. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. Now, you say, wait a minute, Marty. They put him in the tomb on Friday. Why were they waiting till Sunday to go anoint the body? Well, they had observed Passover. They had observed the Sabbath. It's what they had observed. It was the Sabbath on Saturday, and they could not go prepare the body. So that's why it's very early on Sunday morning, the earliest time they could go. They are on their way, but they are not expecting a miracle. They are not expecting to find Jesus alive. They have spices to anoint a dead body. The Gospel of Mark says they're arguing about how the stone is going to be rolled away. They're not expecting a miracle. They're expecting to find a dead person. Now, as believers, we can live in the same way. We can live as if we would never expect God to do a work in our lives. We can live as if we would never expect God to use us in a way to reach somebody for Christ. We can live as if we would never expect God to do a miracle in our family or in our workplace or in our church. They weren't expecting a miracle, but yet a miracle is exactly what God had done. They weren't expecting that miracle. Let me tell you what else they were living. They were living misery. You know, look at the disciples. They were hiding out. They had spent the longest Saturday ever because they were wondering, are we going to be next? At any moment, are we going to hear the knock? And it's going to be the Roman soldiers, and they're going to take us, and they're going to flog us, and then they're going to crucify us. They had experienced that misery again because they didn't expect Christ to be alive. They had watched him die. Matter of fact, everything they had been living for 3 years in their mind was now gone. It had just disappeared. They were alone and they were afraid. They were miserable. I tell you, as believers, when we seek to live apart from the glory of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, when we just allow ourselves to be caught and stay in sin and shame, but yet still have a profession of Christ as Savior, that's going to be a miserable life because it's not the life God intends for his children to live. The other thing we see here is just misplaced priorities in life, again, because they weren't expecting the resurrection. You know, in verse 5, there is a great question. It was certainly the appropriate question of the day. But I think it's a great question for us to answer today. So the ladies here, they see these angels. The word there is angelos, it's messenger. They say men here. The translation is that they were angels in shining garments. And I don't think, you know, sometimes we think of angels, we think Touched by an Angel, the movie. I don't think that's what these angels look like. Okay, because they had already caused two Roman soldiers to pass out in fear. Now the women are bowing down to the ground, afraid to look at them. But notice what one of the angels asked, and this is a great question. He asked this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek life among the dead. He told you he was going to rise. And yet you come to the tomb looking for the one who is alive. I'll tell you why that's a great question. Because I put it with misplaced priorities. That's a question for us. How many of us are looking for meaning? We're looking for life. We're looking for fulfillment in the things that are ultimately, the Bible says, are just going to waste away. We think if we have a relationship with someone here on earth, I'll just have it all. I hear that all. You know what? If I could just find the right man or I could just find the right woman, my life would be fulfilled. I've heard the opposite. I've heard if I could just get rid of this man or get rid of this woman, my life would be fulfilled. You know, Lori and I have been married for 26 years. And what we have learned is we cannot be one another's ultimate fulfillment. We can't do it. As much as we love one another, we cannot be one another's ultimate fulfillment, because that for a believer can only come in the person of Jesus Christ in our lives. So how often do we look for the next thing to bring us meaning and to bring us fulfillment instead of looking to the risen Lord? For he's the only one that can bring that meaning in our lives. For the non-believer, he's the only one that can fulfill you in the way that you desire. He's the only one that can take your sin and your shame and bring you forgiveness and grace and mercy. He's the only one. But yet so often we look to other things, to money, to beauty, to relationships, whatever it is, to take the place of Christ. And it will never happen. See, when we do that, we're living as if the resurrection never took place. That's why the Bible, Colossians 3, it says that we are to set our mind toward the things of heaven. We're to set our mind to seek the things above, the kingdom of God. And when we do that, when we experience that power, the power of the resurrection, it gives us a new lease on life. And that really leads to the second way, the second choice we have in how we're going to live our lives. We can live our lives in light of the power of the resurrection. And that's what I would submit to you. That's how we should live our lives, is in that power. The power that overcame death, that overcame sin. And that's why we can come together and celebrate today. I tell you, when we leave verses 5 and 6, or really good verse 6, we see a change. We see a change in the women. They go there expecting to find death, but in the message that was given them, they go proclaiming life. When he said, "He is not here, he is risen," remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. You know, one thing we can do, how do we live in light of the resurrection? We need to constantly remind one another and be reminded that we can live in the power of the resurrection. How do we do that? We stay in God's word. We study God's word. We read God's word. We teach God's word. We get together and talk about God's word together. We have accountability in the word of God. We have accountability with one another. But we are consistently living in light of the resurrection and that power in our lives. See, Jesus had said, when he would say the Son of Man, they knew exactly who he was talking about. He said, "I must be delivered into sinful men's hands. I will be crucified, but on the third day I will rise again." That's why the angel said, "Remember what he told you." And then for the ladies, it said, yeah, they do remember. You know, one of the things that came out in the movie, and they say, and we don't often think about it, the testimony here in Luke and the other gospels is such a strong account of the truth of the bodily resurrection. And he said, here's why. Now, ladies, don't shoot the messenger today. Just hear the message. In that day, the testimony of a woman was not found as credible as the testimony of the man. Now, we know how crazy that is because men lie, right? I mean, women will tell you the truth. Men will lie to you, right? Just kidding, man. Just kidding. But here's what it said is they would have never reported that the women found the empty tomb and then reported it to the men. If they had made up the story, they would have put it, what would have conveyed the most truth in that day is that the men were the ones who found the empty tomb. But the women find it, and the angel said, don't you remember when he told you this would happen? And it says they remembered. I tell you, one of the things we just need to be reminded of is the power of the resurrection, and that we can live in that power, that we aren't bound in sin anymore, that we don't have to stay chained to sin, that we can live our life through the power of Christ. And then they rejoiced. You know, they go there looking for death. And it says in verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told these things. Don't you know there was a difference in their return? Don't you think the walk to the tomb was just miserable and the walk away from the tomb was incredible? Because they now could go and share what they had seen. He's not dead. We looked in there. We saw the burial cloths. He's not there. He is alive. You know, I tell you, one of the great ways, if you want to, again, answer the question, do I live in the power of the resurrection? Well, do we live a joyful life? And notice, I didn't say a happy life, because I don't care how much you love Jesus, there's going to be days you're not happy. But joy and happiness are different. Joy is something on the inside that no matter what's going on the outside, I still understand the power of Christ working in my life. And that Christ has a purpose for what I'm going through, a peace that can be in our lives. That's living a life of joy. You know, sometimes I'm asked, How do you start a gospel conversation with people? And I try to give people ideas. And I said, you know, one of the best ways to do it is just put a smile on your face and say hello to people. Because as much bad stuff in the world as today, if you'll just do that, people will think you're weird and want to know what's wrong with you. Just walk around with a smile on your face and talk to people. They'll either think you're stoned or there's something wrong with you. And it can open up a conversation about Christ working in our lives. See, we above all should be joyous. See, Paul said, if Christ is not risen from the grave, then we are to be most of all pitied because we're the most miserable. Okay? Did Christ rise from the dead?
Yes.
Then we above all should be joyful and be joyous because of the power of the resurrection. You know, one of the things that blessed me, what time is it? I still got time? Yeah, I got plenty of time. Lori got me a Fitbit watch. I'm sure there wasn't a message in that anywhere, but I have to tap on it to get the thing up, so I just pretend it's not working some Sundays. And But this morning, you know what one of the blessings is that you see these hundreds of people come to a sunrise service. They're getting there between 6 and 6:30. Now, I'm up a lot early in the mornings, and I, you know, going for meetings and stuff. A lot of people, when they're out between 6 and 6:30 in the morning, don't look happy about it. And they're just, it's like the end of the world. You know what I love today about hundreds of people gathering together? Every generation and every one of them had a smile on their face. I mean, they were just happy to be there. It didn't look like anybody had been drugged there, but they were happy to be there. Why? Because they're rejoicing that we get together and we celebrate the power of the resurrection. So do we have that rejoicing? And then the third thing, how do we know if we're living in light of the resurrection, is we'll repeat the message. You know, I love, what did they do? They heard the message. They heard, he is not here, he's alive. And what does it say they immediately did? They did what they went and told others. I mean, isn't that what a witness is? Isn't that, we as witnesses, isn't that what we're to do? Ultimately, I know we share the gospel, we share about the fall, we share about the promise of redemption, we share about what Christ has did, we share about eternity. But the gospel in a nutshell is that we are saying, you know what, our Savior is alive. Amen. He has overcome death, and in that he can overcome your death. Yes. That is sharing the gospel message, and that's simply what they did. They went and told the apostles, it said, that Jesus Christ is alive. They couldn't have kept it to themselves. There was just no way they could have kept it to themselves. So I would just ask us, if we're living in light of the power of the resurrection, how can we keep the fact that we serve a risen Lord to ourselves? I think we've got to tell others about it. Matter of fact, make part of your daily prayer. God, put somebody in my path today that I can share Christ with, that I can have a gospel conversation with, that I can look at them and say, you know what? I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Lord. And that's why we celebrate Easter. You know, most people that you come in contact with, they will know something happened this past week. And they may only know it because something was closed or they couldn't do banking on a certain day. But they will know something was different about the Friday through the Monday of this week. So why don't we use this as an opportunity to tell somebody, hey, here's why we celebrate. Here's why I went to a sunrise service, or here's why I gathered with my church family, because he is not dead. You don't have to live a life of misery. You don't have to live with misplaced priorities. We can live with our lives focused and passionate and taking chances for Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I'll close with this story. I was blessed, and we just had a football reunion a couple weeks ago. You know, I was blessed to be what's been called one of the greatest plays in NC State football history. Now, it's probably not a lot of plays in NC State football history that are great plays, but I was blessed to be part of 1986. Some of you were at this game. 1986, we were playing University of South Carolina, and I didn't like them. I know you Clemson guys don't like them. I liked them less, okay? I just didn't like South Carolina. If you're from, I'm sorry. But anyway, I like them now. Well, no, I really don't. But anyway, I like you, okay? I like you, so. But I remember we were playing, and we were trying to score, and we failed to score, and I remember looking at the clock, and it said 0-0-0-0. We had lost the game. And I know this was only for a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. I was just thinking, man, I'm going to have to go face, there was a guy that I grew up with that played for South Carolina, and I knew what he was coming to tell me. And it wasn't how to be saved, I promise you. So it was going to be bad. And I just looked, and all our fans were down. The players were down, or players on their knees just hitting the ground. We wanted to win so bad. But we had lost the game. And then I don't remember if it was over the loudspeaker or just somebody on the sideline just started yelling, "Wait, wait, wait, there's a flag. There's a flag on the field." And so the announcer said they had to get everybody off. You know, all the South Carolina players were coming onto the field. They had to get everybody off the field. And what they said is there was a player for South Carolina that had jumped off sides. And if you know anything about football, you know a game cannot end on a defensive penalty. So the referee said, "There's one more play. We're going to put 1 second on the clock. So there's going to be one play to conclude the game. So with no time on the clock, we ran that play. And our quarterback, Eric Kamer, he dropped back and he threw it as far as he could throw it. What do we call it? We call that the Hail Mary. So we were all, I don't know how many of us were Roman Catholic, but we were all praying for the Hail Mary that day. So we throw the ball, he throws the ball as far as we can, and it lands in the hands of Danny Peoples, a receiver. And the quarterback, the referee goes, touchdown. And man, the place just went berserk. You know, I went and found the guy I knew then. And, yeah, it was bad. It was. Yeah, you would not have been proud of your pastor that day, I promise you. But I just, man, and you know, we're so, and what was amazing is in just a moment we had gone from utter defeat to having the greatest game of our lives. And I think about that, you know, on Saturday of the crucifixion, all the disciples could see there's no hope, it's over. And on Sunday, it was the greatest event in the history of mankind. Because what was seen at as utter, amen, we can praise God. What was seen at as utter defeat, utter shame, utter death, became the greatest life in history. That's the power of the resurrection. And God doesn't save us just to change our eternity. He saves us to change our today. So I would just ask you, are you living in the power of the resurrection? Do you remember what he said? Do you rejoice through that power in your life? And do you repeat it? Do you tell others about what Christ has done? Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.